May Bressel on KAZU FM, Pacific Grove, California. We'll take calls for a few minutes, about 25 minutes, and then get on to World Watchers, the program World Watchers. In this time, you can ask questions or share information, books you've been reading, pictures you've been seeing, or news articles that are of interest if you want to share them. The phone number here is 375-3082. And if you are bashful and don't want to call in and share, I'll start by doing what I've been doing the past few weeks, and that is listing some television shows that might be of interest to you. I always used to say turn off the tube and read or discuss, but there are some movies coming out now of events that took place a while back that are actually part of American history, and they touch on subjects that we share on these programs. And you may want to watch them if you have a pencil, get a pencil, and just make a note. And if you have time, if it fits into your time schedule, you might try to see them. I've been trying to see one or two the week. There's a call now. Let me quick give you these, and then we'll take the first call. 1 second. Grace Kelly, tomorrow night, the biography of Grace Kelly is Channel 54 at 8:30. I don't know if it's any good or not. Wait, I'll take this call in case it's long distance. I won't run up their bill. And then we'll get back to those in a second. Hello.
Hi, Meg.
Yes.
Yeah, if you're interested in TV shows, there's one some people may want to listen to. On Wednesday, on the 700 Club, Pat Robertson is going to have a guest.
Uh-huh.
Peter Grace.
Oh, you're kidding.
That's true.
Wednesday?
Yes.
At the 700 Club, what time in the morning is that?
I believe it's on, it's either 7, I think it's on at 7 in the morning, and then it's on again at noon.
And noon, J. Peter Grace.
Yeah.
He's an appointed position to the Reagan cabinet. J. Peter Grace family have been part of the Knights of Malta, the Sovereign Military Order of Malta, knighted by the Vatican, and business partner with Otto Ambrose, I.G. Farben, making Zyklon B for Auschwitz, and the extermination camps. They have a long history of politics in the United States, in Peru, South America, the Grace shipping lines, and so forth. That's Wednesday. What channel?
Well, here on the peninsula, it just comes on number 4.
Number 4 at 7 a.m.
Yes, and then again at noon.
And at noon, 12 noon. Okay, I'll be sure to get that, and I'll try and get other people to see
also,
that.
Also, yeah. Right now, in the new penthouse, that von Bolschwing article is out.
Oh, yeah. Otto von Bolschwing, who was, to fill in listeners who don't know, he was Adolf Eichmann's superior. He worked for the SS, for the Gestapo. He was, his family's 250 years back in genealogy accepted by the SS. He passed the test. He worked for the OSS, which became our central intelligence agency. And he was the man who conceived the idea of taking property from the Jews and putting it into the Deutsche Bank, accumulating capital, and in return giving them a passport to leave Europe.
Yeah.
If they want to get out alive, turn over everything you have to me. And he began taking, and then it went into the gold of the Jewish debt and so forth. But he was the one who connived all that, worked with the Romanian Iron Guard. He brought Mr. Trifia, the reverend, to this country, actually. And a lot of people don't know that. Get that book. I'll do something on the penthouse article soon. But I'm glad you reminded us about that.
Good.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye. In the penthouse, August, don't perceive the cover doesn't have von Bolschwing's story on it, but it's in there. I think it's part two of the John Lennon story that's on the cover of Penthouse. Otto von Bolschwing. Getting back to some of the other things that are on TV, if you want to call 375-3082 to share some more, and I'll go on with these other subjects. Last night, Clement Stone was on television with Larry King. It was a late show, and I didn't know I had enough time to tell you about it. He's the fellow that wants to change the entire world. He wants to spend something like $22 billion to turn the entire world Christian, and he makes millions and millions of dollars a year and has a book on his success stories. And he's given Richard Nixon and the Republican Party millions of dollars, millions and millions, and at the time of the Watergate, he hired Dwight Chapin, Richard Nixon's appointment secretary. While he was in jail, he paid his time and salary in jail and hired him when he got out. And Clement Stone was an interesting character. Okay, this week there's a biography of Grace Kelly. I don't know if it'll be a washed-out version or a lie. I haven't seen it, but you may pick up some inkling of her family, her close links to the Vatican, and so forth. This is 8:30, Channel 54, Tuesday, and at 9 o'clock, running all week, once every night of the week, is Ronald Reagan in Santa Fe Trail with Errol Flynn. It was made in 1940 when Errol Flynn was working in the Gestapo and had been in the Nazi Gestapo for a few years, and they both worked at Warner Brothers and made movies together in 1940, 1942. And I have reason to believe, because of Reagan's background in Illinois and how he came to Hollywood, and I've mentioned on programs, that Reagan could have been recruited as part of the Gestapo as early as that time when he was with Errol Flynn, and their politics overlapped. This isn't a political movie, but you may want to see El Presidente on his horse riding off in the sunset with Errol Flynn. Home box office has Wednesday, The Howard Hughes Story. Now, I haven't seen that. It's 10 p.m. on home box office. I'm recommending it sight unseen. I'll know more about it. It'll run for the month. But Howard Hughes is an amazing phenomenon, and if you want to see a little bit of Americana, any part of it would be interesting for you. I'm sure they're not going to show some of the more intricate details of his life with the Central Intelligence Agency or with the spy network or the organized crime syndicate, but some of it is a good starting point, and you can go from there. Rainbow, the story of Judy Garland, is Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock. I always believe that Judy Garland was murdered. Her husband was involved with the same people written up in the book on the Columbia movie scandal and the forging of checks, and the team from Columbia that went on over to 20th Century Fox. Later, there's a book out on that scandal. And her husband got wind of salaries that were going to Judy that were indeed forged, and he began to complain. And at the time he complained, she was in London and giving concerts and was about to do another tour, and she was dead. And I believe this was long before I knew about the other Hollywood connections, that Judy Garland had been murdered because she was objecting to the scandals at the studio and using her and her money. Friday night, Channel 9 has a program at 10 o'clock on mind control. It's called Behavior Control. I haven't seen that either. I've just been looking at the TV guide before I come in here on Mondays to see what is of interest for you. Channel 9, Behavior Control, at 10 p.m. If any of you saw those movies I recommended last week, particularly The Lebersborn or any of those that you want to share, call 375-3082 if you want to share your experiences on those movies or anything else, as I say, if you want to call in. Parallax View is Saturday night at 8 o'clock. That's the story of the murder of Robert Kennedy, Senator Robert Kennedy. It's Warren Beatty, and it's a fiction. It's about the murdering of a senator and somebody being in a hotel, which is very similar to the Ambassador Hotel. And then a reporter runs away and wants to do a story, and it's about his life being endangered and people being killed and the threats of getting the story out. And some of those experiences were similar to Ted Sharrock, who made the movie The Second Gun and did try to get the story out on the murder of Robert Kennedy. So that's Parallax View at 8 o'clock on Saturday. And then at 10 o'clock, there's one ABC report on a man who disguised himself and got involved with stolen art, trying to find stolen art. Now, there's been a scandal going everywhere from the Vatican to Jimmy Hoffa to the Teamsters to Adolf Hitler, and Goering was the one who accumulated so much art out of the Nazi regimes and different countries, and took this art all over the world. And now it is pilfering into homes and museums, and some families, if they survived, are claiming this is their art. And the Vatican, the ambassador to the United Nations, was caught with Licio Gelli and Michael Sindone and that group with art coming through the United Nations from the Vatican, stolen art. So that's a lot, isn't it? Howard Hughes and Ronald Reagan and Santa Fe Trail, and J. Peter Grace with the program Wednesday at 7 in the morning and noon, and Judy Garland and Mind Control and Robert Kennedy and Stolen Art. That's a lot of chances. That's 3, 6, 7 different kinds of pictures, if they interest you, that you can set the time aside and hopefully get to see at least one or two. If you get to see that many, you'll learn a lot more than you knew before, because these events are covered up in newspaper articles, and the days come and go quickly, and a lot of people do not spend the time going into the subjects, and once they see it visually on the screen, it makes it more interesting and they can study it. I brought in a few articles if you didn't want to call in and call in. A lot of you is long distance up in the Santa Cruz area or Salinas. It costs you money to call here, and you still call and ask questions at the house personally instead of on the air. I did bring in other articles I can share with you if you don't want to call. If you want to call, it's 375-3082. Incidentally, in this time period, I want to tell you, Kazoo is having a marathon. This week is the scheduled marathon, beginning officially July 13th, but I don't think they'll get mad if I say it 2 days ahead, because it's okay. Maybe you want to call in and pledge money. They're going to have a marathon going the entire week to give money to this station, and we'd like contributions. I'll mention it again in the middle of World Watchers, but if you have a checkbook handy or cash and you want to send it to the station, the membership, student and seniors, is $15, $25 for a basic backer, $40 for a patron of the airwaves, $100 for Grand Kazoo. I won't tell you what. The lifetime membership is $500, but I don't really put that on the air. Now, there's been a fundraising at other stations that carry World Watchers, and they've raised a lot of money. One station up north got $900 in a very short time, asking people who listen regularly to send to the station. So if you want to send to this station and contribute, that would be great, and show that you appreciate all kinds of programming, not just this, but the other one. There's a fundraising July 19th, that's a week from this Tuesday, over at MPC at 8 p.m. It's going to be 2 hours of comedy with W.C. Fields, Marx Brothers, Spanky, Our Gang, Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, Minnie the Moocher, and so forth. It'll be in some Warner Brothers cartoons, a Popeye cartoon going back to 1944. It's going to be a fundraising for Kazoo a week from Tuesday, July 19th at 8 p.m. Maybe we could all meet there and get together and do something either before or afterwards. If you're interested, call me. Tuesday isn't a bad day for me, and if you want to have some kind of a potluck supper or a picnic out there and go to MPC, it's 8 p.m., and we could all go and see the movies and have some fun and help support Kazoo. Let me know if you want to do that and give them a break. One of the articles I brought in was a study on children. Working mothers' children score lower in new tests. Are there any of you that have any feelings about that? Women that are working, single-family homes, the IQ test, if breaking the home apart does lower the IQ. It seems that now that they're testing working mothers and single-parent households, the children have a lower IQ than those where the mother stays at home and is with the children until they go to grammar school. It's 9% lower on students where the mothers are working. That's quite a bit, an IQ of 9%. Imagine what it would be if you were home and taught them a lot at the same time. Mothers who never work, their children have an IQ 9% higher on most of these tests for two-parent families where they're both home and the mother can give the children the attention in the household. Is there any way to raise the IQ? Do you believe it could be done if they're in co-ops or with babysitters? Are people particular about the kind of sitters they have? I know when I was raising my children, I didn't think the neighbors were, or friends or relatives. They'd take the nearest person next door, either the nearest or the cheapest, and say, well, here's the food or here's the phone, and leave the children with them. People that really were not excellent in any kind of skills where they could teach them or do art projects with them or let them dance or listen to music or play games that were any chance of elevating their IQ. Most of the sitters, maybe I shouldn't generalize, let's say my experience was that if you were particular, you could lay out a program for babysitters of what they could do that would stimulate the children while you're gone and would be good for them. But most people don't think along those lines or think it's important or depend upon the school system to do this for them. And then the child gets out in the world and doesn't have the same breaks that another child has who's competing for certain colleges or jobs where there's been an effort to stay with them and give them those advantages. If you're a working parent, if you're listening and a working parent, maybe you could call in and talk about your experiences or how you feel or what kind of babysitters you have. And if you don't want to, I thought it was an interesting story. I believed that people should stay home and take care of their own children. And a lot of people would say to me, well, if you're economically able to, that's one thing. But I never had any ambition to get out of the house and get a job. And if I had to, I think I'd be more particular about who stayed with the family than a lot of people are. I don't know. That's a controversial question, but it seems that tests are showing that this makes a difference. Also, do you need as many things to buy if you go to work. You have time away, you pay a sitter, you pay for clothes. It costs a lot of money to get out there. When there's two people in the family working, it puts you in a different tax bracket. Can you make it a loan and cut back in order to have the advantage of staying home? I wonder if how many people do that and are willing to give up, say, vacations and two cars and a lot of the other things, that restaurants or expensive movies, and cut back the standard of living in order to have the things that they want with the children. I've learned to do that myself with the research at the expense of the newspapers and the magazines or the copying papers. So you cut back on what you eat or what you wear or where you eat out or where you go and how many times you go out, and you can cut it back and put it into some of the things that you really need or want, and raising a family is important. I have another story here about how the states, the counties, could save money by extraditing particular prisoners. What do you think about bringing prisoners to individual states, such as in South Dakota? The judge said, if you want to go to California, I'll release you from jail. There's so many crazies out there, I'll let you out. And then people come out here and have had records of rape and murder and so forth. They just want to keep them in the jail, just as Fidel Castro opened up the jails and said, okay, you want the anti-communists? You want, you know, Cubans? We'll send you everybody. And he cleaned out all of his jails. The price of keeping a person in jail for a serious charge is very, very expensive. The trials are about $50,000 for a felony trial, and the taxpayers are paying $16 million over what they would spend if they, in Los Angeles alone, if they simply sent a person who had a prison record pending or escaped from jail back to where he came from. What do you think of that, sending people back? The example was given for that Mr. Cooper who escaped from Chino and murdered various people, and it's costing a fortune, various four people in the family, the husband and wife, the daughter, and the friend of the son. The son almost died, and he's left alone, and there's expensive care for him. He was very badly wounded. And this one article is from the L.A. Herald, and it says that $16 million in Los Angeles could be paid by simply sending him back to the state where they did the crime. And that makes so much sense, because maybe they get even with us and take the California people and send them back to us. Maybe there's more California people in New York that escaped from trial. But I think it's a good idea. I think that each city and each state should be responsible for its own criminals, because that's where they grew up. That's where they showed the symptoms of psychological disorder. This is where they were in certain children's camps. If they had committed one crime, the neighborhood people know them, the parole officers. And when they escape, for example, like this Cooper leaves Pennsylvania and comes out to San Bernardino, maybe he should go right back to Pennsylvania and be put into jail there and be tried in jail. What do you think of that? I'll take a call now. Hello?
Yeah, I wanted to bring up a point with you, which has annoyed me for a while.
Okay.
Is that, quite simply, is that AIDs, AIDS,
yes,
hit in New York, L.A., San Francisco, in 1981, all at the same time.
Yes.
And within 6 months is that it became a concern.
Mm-hmm.
And now we are living in an era in which the AIDS victims are doubling every 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked with someone who had worked for the government, and at a party in a very inebriated state, you might say, is that he said it simply was a concerted effort. It was a created orgasm.
Yeah.
That resulted in the creation of this unique thing that would attack gays.
Uh huh.
And I just simply wanted to impart that information.
What you wanted me to do was to do more broadcasts on the AIDS, or a broadcast on the AIDS?
Uh-huh.
I haven't done a particular broadcast on the AIDS. That's true. I have, partly the problem is I have lots of articles, and I have alluded to the fact that the Atlanta, Georgia, control center is a menace. How long have you been listening to World Watchers?
Well, quite a while.
Okay. Well, you know that I always thought that that place should be ripped out by the roots, just like a cancer. And I have talked about Elmer Bobst, and we were talking about the article about Otto von Bolschwing. He worked for Elmer Bobst of Warner Lambert, and he formed...
The thing is, I'm going to hang on shortly because I have something else I have to do.
Okay.
But at this party that I attended, this man... man had actually worked in capacity with the federal government.
And what did he say?
In terms of he was actually an agent. He's not now anymore.
Mm-hmm.
He's no longer with the company.
Mm-hmm.
And he said simply that this organism was created.
This organism was created.
Was created.
Okay, now let me ask you something. Can you write to me and put down as much as you can? My box is...
Recollect what you said?
My box is 22511 Carmel 93922.
Yeah, okay.
And a lot of people don't want to put their return address. You can if you want. You can give me your phone number so I can reach you.
Well,
I believe that it is created. I think
exactly what he said.
The Germ Control Center is created.
He was coming from
a
point of view of, one, I guess because it was very late in the night and everybody was very inebriated.
Uh-huh.
And he was coming from a position of, I know what I'm talking about, is that, and blah, blah, blah. And I went, are you really serious about what you're saying? And it's like, and he was. And that suddenly is...
And he worked for the government. He was a government agent.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Uh-huh. And
although he's not now.
See, I know that Legionnaires was created. I know that swine flu was created. Mm-hmm. I know that Tay-Sachs, that is supposed to hit Jews, is created. Sickle cell is for the blacks. The AIDS is for the gay. They don't care if it overlaps a little. You understand?
Yeah, I know.
But the point is, and this whole situation will never be resolved until we get rid of that Germ Control Center down there and stop pussyfooting around. The best way to study it is the history of the American Cancer Society that was put together by William Donovan of the OSS. It always goes back to the same people.
What really blew me away was his attitude of cleaning up the genetic cesspool, so to speak.
Yes, that's exactly right. They'll pull them out. That's exactly what they want. They want to get the genetic cesspool. If you're weak enough to do it, we're going to get you. And you're not going to know who your friends are.
I'll sit down and I will think about what the man said.
Yes, put it all down. The best way to do, and this is for you as well as other researchers who are listening, write down the approximate date of when you heard it. So I can, you know, and people say, I heard this, and years go so fast, you don't know where. I was in, you don't have to say, Santa Cruz, Salinas, you don't have to tell me the city, the street, the home, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Under the circumstances, this was his background, and put his background for me, and how the subject happened to come up.
I know. May I have to get off?
Okay, get off.
I just wanted to complete that.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Okay, now, I've gotten other calls on different times about the situation about AIDS, and here is somebody coming forward and saying the organism was created. The way you get to facts is you get a whisper of something, and then you follow it through. This happens, I'll be doing, starting in 5 minutes, the regular World Watchers program, how David Stockman, 2 years ago, made a statement that was put into a book on the fact that Ronald Reagan, I keep confusing the two guys, they're so much alike, Ronald Reagan was briefed by him during the campaign with stolen papers. Now that sits like a time bomb until a book comes out in June the 8th, and now it's leading all the way up to the White House with sex orgies and destroyed pictures, and we'll do more of the details later, going directly to the White House. Well, it just starts as a simple statement of David Stockman. So what the caller has to do is to write down for me, or any of you, if you hear a story. I don't go on a lot of false information. I have a pretty good sensor to screen it out. I think I've done very good in not getting out on that limb and sawing my the branch with me at the end on the bottom falling off. I can censor it, and I put it in a bank, a think bank, and put it away until something else comes along that confirms that, or write to the Germ Control Center and say, do you do this? And they'll write back and say, of course I don't. And you have their name, and then years later, somebody mentions their name, just like the MK Ultra program and the mind control program, then you know who's lying. Here's another call, maybe on that subject. Hello?
Yes, May. I just, this is a listener of yours over in the Salinas area.
Uh-huh.
And I just heard about a book last night called St. Peter's Banker.
Oh, yes.
Oh, you know about the book, then.
St. Peter's Banker?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we'll have to get into that, not this week, but I can give a list on the air next week. Tell me what you heard about. Did you see it?
No. I just heard an interview last night over the KCBS radio network.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. The author, he was being interviewed.
Oh, if ever you hear that, call me so I can catch it. Don't call me if it's the end of the program, but if there's any listeners here who catch a program or some interview of a book that I'm talking about, of Seymour Hersh or one of these people that are on, call me so I can catch it, because they'll just turn on the radio and have it.
Right. The author was Luigi DiFonse.
Oh, that's an amazing book. I know. I just got the book. Okay. Now, there's somebody called me from a bookstore in Carmel and said, hey, May, you should see this book. This is what you've been telling us for years.
Right.
About Michaels and Don and the Mafia and the Vatican and the CIA and the sleazy gang in Washington.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly.
Well, there's three books now. The Pontiff just came out. La Popessa and St. Peter's Banker, and then there's the Vatican connection. And I'll give next week, if you want, the authors and the publishers, because all of you go to the library and get them. You read those four, and you'll know that something is happening.
Oh, most definitely.
Mr.
Most
Jones.
Definitely. Okay, thank you so
Thanks
much.
Thanks for calling.
Enjoy your program.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, there are some good books on the scandals of the Vatican. I don't mean to single them out. You know, last week I was hitting the Jewish Nazis, and I pulled out some more articles, information, or references from the news just this week in books on Jewish Nazis, as shocking as that may sound to some of you. But it is a fact that in the La Popessa tells about the Jews that helped fund Adolf Hitler and so forth. So they're not really clean, and I don't mean to single out any particular group. I have a marvelous series of books that came out at the time of Watergate on the Mormons and the Watergate and their role in the scandals of Watergate. And, of course, David Kennedy of Watergate, the Secretary of Treasury with Richard Nixon, is involved with Michael Sindona of the Vatican. So it crosses the lines there, and it doesn't really matter what religion. It has more to do with controlling people and drug connections than it has anything to do with God. So these new books, if you want to go to the library and get them, they're out now, newer. Buy them and own them. The Vatican Connection is one. St. Peter's Banker is the other. La Popessa is the other. And the Pontiff is the fourth one. And those are just recent ones, and they do bring in the spying in the Vatican, the woman that lived upstairs with Pope Pius XII and influenced political decisions, and the A to Z of scandals that brings in Claire Luce and Cardinal Spellman, and you name it. That's the way it goes. Okay, now we're going to go on to World Watchers, and we'll take more calls next week.